words from my lips and by your presence and by your spirit here, you would breathe your word of life into our hearts. Amen. Kirsty, can you just check that it's recording for me, please? You look in the taskbar in the bottom right, like a little videotape. You should have a blue dot flashing on it. Yeah, blue dot flashing. Brilliant. It's a real revelation to many people the way that we talk about our church family here at All Saints. People go, church family? What's that? They talk about congregations. And I don't know where I got it from, but when we first moved here 8.5 years ago, I'd heard somebody talking about church family. And I knew in my heart of hearts I liked that more than I liked the word congregation. It's only in the last 18 months that I've been able to get in my head why I think that's right. A congregation is a group of people who come together. Congregate, congregation. They come together. People who come together at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific purpose. It's actually quite a good way to describe the people that come to a church on a Sunday morning. We are a congregation. We are a congregation of people. We've come from all our different places. One of these days I'll put a map up of the local area and we'll put little bits of wool going to all the different places that people have come from to get here. I won't do it today because I don't think we've got a bit of wool that's long enough to stretch all the way to Bristol. We might manage Sheffield, but not Bristol, because that's where Steve and Wendy are at present. But the problem with that is it defines that group of people by where they meet and what they do on that occasion. In talking about us as a church family, I am still a member of my family wherever I am. Family's always family, especially around here. Even when you fall out with them, they're still family. That's why it hurts. We're a family. You're not just a family when you get together. You have family get-togethers, but you're a family when you're not together. Your identity as part of a family doesn't depend on you getting together at Christmas at Granny's, or you going to the family wedding or the family funeral or the family birthday party in Holland. You are part of a family. Like it or lump it, you are part of a family. And what we say is that family is not our family. It is God's family. We're adopted into a different family. And that is the wonder of what we've been celebrating over the last few weeks, is that we're adopted. Often when I'm taking funeral services and people say, oh, well, you know, the two families came together. He treated her kids as if they were his own. Or she treated all those kids the same. And you know what? Sometimes I think that family by choice is more amazing than family by genetics. To choose to make somebody a part of your family and a part of your heart forever is the most amazing thing. And that's why it's so tragic when it doesn't always work. And I was thinking about this reading today. I mean, I have to say, it's a bit of an obvious reading when we're celebrating the life of All Saints, not the building. The building is beautiful, but if God forbid the day ever came when I looked out from the North Bridge and the spire wasn't there anymore, I do check every time, by the way. How many others do? Yeah. I don't know if it's love or paranoia. It's very difficult to tell the two. If the day ever came when that spire had fallen, this church family would still exist. And it would still be as strong as ever. We are a living temple to God's glory. You, like living stones, Peter said, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy people. I want to just show four pictures about what it means to be a living stone, about being part of a church family, not just a congregation, not sort of turning up on a particular day, but being built into the very fabric of God's plan. Before you tell me it's out of focus, it is, except for one bit. The first thing we need to learn is that we are chosen. How many of you were the last people to be picked in teams for sports? How many of you were the person that the PE teacher always asked to pick teams? Dare you put your hands up? In a lineup, God said, I want you on my team. 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 And you. And you. I'm not going to pick anybody last because I want you on my team. And I want you on my team. And I want you on my team. We are chosen. Adrian Plass said, for a long time he used to think that he was a bit like a goat lurking at the back of the flock of sheep, sort of, you know, following them through the gates, hiding behind the other sheep, hoping the shepherd wouldn't notice him. Thinking that the day would come when he would be found out and kicked out. No. You have been chosen by God. You are special to God. And that is the bedrock on which everything else that we believe is built. This is about God calling you. This is not about you trying to please God. This is not about you trying to placate an angry God by doing the modern equivalent of tipping a virgin into a volcano. We don't treat God like that. God did it first. We love because he first loved us. You are chosen. You are special. The king of the universe, the one who set galaxies and stars and atoms and quarks and Higgs bosons into place, chose you. Not some ultra-Christian version of you that he hopes to make in the future. You, as you are, he chose you to be a part of his building. What do you do with a stone that you choose? I know of very few stones that come out of the ground that are the right shape. We're watching Strip the City. I don't know how many of you caught up with that on Quest. We're watching a lot of Quest in our household, Mythbusters. By the way, if you hear Joel talking about blowing things up, please don't be too alarmed. He's just got a bit of a thing going at present with blowing things up. But they're trying to mine a huge block of stone in Rome? This massive sort of rock outcrop. And they were driving spikes into the stone along a fault to just crack this huge block. I mean, it would have been twice my arm span in each dimension. This huge block of stone. Now, I don't know many buildings in Rome that are built with bricks that are that big. That stone has to be shaped. How do you shape a stone? You chisel it. You take a blooming great big hammer and something that's sharp and start knocking bits off it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not mad keen on this. This is like, you know, get your chisel away from me, thank you very much. But this is what God does. We're chosen. We are precious. But then what God does is he looks and sees within us the beauty that he's longing to reveal, the beauty that's buried deep down under all the other rubbish and muck and rough bits. And bit by bit, flake by flake, tap by tap, he reveals the beauty of the stone. He reveals the beauty that lies within. I reckon that's a very painful process for most of us. It takes time to let the maker chisel away, to get rid of the rough bits, the sharp bits. Bits fly off in all directions when you're chiseling. You have to wear safety goggles. I think that's a good analogy, actually, in our church family. Sometimes we need to wear safety goggles as the master sculptor is chiseling bits of us off, and bits of shards go flying in all directions, getting into people's eyes and cuts and grazes. But it's necessary. We are living stones. We are being built. Not we have been built, we are being built, present tense, into this temple that God is wanting to build. We're chosen, and then we are formed, we are shaped, we are fashioned into the people that God knows we are inside. A sculptor once said, I look at a piece of wood or I look at a piece of rock and I know what shape the sculpture is inside. It's already there. All I have to do is get rid of the bits I don't need anymore. That's how God looks at us. That's how God is building his temple. We're then placed. I love dry stone walls. I love looking at dry stone walls. I am amazed at the skill of people who make dry stone walls. Because not a single one of those stones is the same shape. The best analogy of this living temple I've ever come across. Because that's what we are. We are a complete mismatch of shapes and sizes. Some of us are different sizes to the way we want to be, but hey, that's the way that chocolate made us. Sorry, God made us. Some of us are sat there thinking, do you know what? There'll never be a bit that I can fit into. Because actually what you need is you need this stone here that doesn't line up. And you need that stone there that's an odd shape. And you even need that teeny weeny little stone there that you can barely see, because without that stone the whole wall will fall down. We are all living stones that God is using to build not this church building, but this church family. We are chosen. We are shaped. And then we are placed. You are where God wants you to be. It sounds really pompous when I say this, but I know that I am where God wants me to be right now. We've known that as a family for 8 years. Actually, we sort of knew it the first time Jackie and I walked through those doors to have a look around the church. We knew in our heart of hearts this was where God wanted us to be. People have said to me, you are staying, aren't you? I've got no plans. But I tell you, you wouldn't want me to stay if God didn't want me here anymore. Because that would be awful. Now, as far as I'm concerned, God hasn't said anything about me going anywhere else yet. So I'm staying put. Just the prospect of trying to empty the vicarage means I'm staying put. Actually, after yesterday's little event with the candles, I probably wouldn't get a job anywhere. So I'm staying put. I think actually legally I can stay here until the 2nd of May 2040. It's the day before my 70th birthday. I've got no plans of staying that long. But we are where God wants us to be. You might not be able to see what that means. That might feel like a really difficult thing. I don't want to go into too many details, but actually as a family there's something at present and we're saying, God, do you know the only thing that is keeping us going on and pushing forward is that we know we're in the right place. We know that we are doing what you want us to do, and therefore we will push through some difficult stuff that we're facing. Because we know this is where God wants us to be. Know that. You are not here by accident. You are here because the King of the universe, who placed every atom in its place in this universe, placed you here. Might be bad news for some of you, and you're thinking, please, can I go somewhere else? But here is where you are. God has placed you in this church family. And finally, what happens to a wall when you're building it? You put stuff on it. Walls are not there to look pretty. The Berlin Wall was not built to look pretty. It was built to do a job. The walls of this church were not built to look pretty. They were built to do a job. The walls of the tower were not built so they would look pretty. They were built so they could support the weight of 162 foot of rock. The walls of your house are there to withstand gales and rain and wind and hail, to withstand 6 inches of snow on the roof. Or not, in the case of our house, where the insulation appears to be completely awful, so the snow doesn't stay on the roof. But the walls are there, stones are there to do something. They have to take a load. There's absolutely no point building a house out of chalk, because it will just crumble. You are living stones. God tests us, not tempts us, tests us. God gives us tasks to do, things to do, things that will stretch us, things that will strain us. I know, as an engineer, how do you test an aeroplane? How do you test a fuselage to make sure that it will survive a bird hitting it? What you do is you pump it full of air, and you get an air cannon, and you stick a deceased chicken inside, and you fire it at this new aeroplane and see if it breaks. You have to remember to defrost the bird before you fire it, otherwise it will break. God will never fire a frozen chicken at you. He knows your design limits. He knows what you can take. But he knows that if he doesn't just push you, you will never reach that full potential that he's placed in you. You have to be loaded. You have to bear weight. You have to work. Not because that gains us any credit with God, but because that builds us into the sort of building that God longs for us to be. You are chosen. Oops, not going back. You are chosen. You are shaped. You are placed. And then you are loaded up to take your part as part of this living temple. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. What for? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are a living temple, continually being made and remade into the likeness of God. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ in the one Spirit. We are all baptized into one body. That is our inheritance. That is our challenge. That is our future. And if in 100 years' time these stones are not still stood on one another, I hope they are. But if they're not, then there will still be a church in Woodlands and in Highfields if there are men and women who are, and children who are being built into that spiritual temple. That's what we celebrate today. And that's our challenge for the next 100 years, the next 200 years, the next 1,000 years, the next however many years until Jesus comes in glory. To acknowledge that we're chosen, to allow ourselves to be shaped, to accept where God places us, and then to work as part of his body to see his kingdom come and his will done. That's our challenge. That's our call. That's our delight. That is our church family. Shall we pray? Jesus, you have called us. You've chosen us. Shape us into your likeness. Make us more like you. Come and fill us now with your Holy Spirit. Maybe if you want to, you just put your hands out in front of you. If you're just receiving a gift, and receive from God the gift of his Holy Spirit, the presence of God with you, with us. Acknowledge God's choosing of you. Because he loves you. Jesus, come and build your church here. Thank you for your promise that the gates of hell will never prevail against your church. Make us bold to go out and preach the good news of your kingdom and of your love. Bless us in these next 100 years. That we may serve you as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to you. And all God's people said, Amen.